That one kind of got me choked up a little bit. Just thinking about what we do and during this time of what we've not been able to do. But God is God, and he's doing great things. And I just want to reiterate what the video said, that I'm so thankful for this church body and that we are truly an exceptional group. We're not a large group, but man, what a healthy group and what a close group and what a influential group. Talking about influence, Steve mentioned the Fun Fest yesterday, and it was amazing. It's not often that our church interrupts Cupertino, but in our little part of town, that certainly happened yesterday. That I didn't get the final numbers yet. I'm waiting to hear, but the traffic jam that occurred for about an hour and a half to 2 hours yesterday was kind of fun. That cars were turnstiled through our parking lot, down Stelling to the Shell station, then turned down Stevens Creek all the way to Target. And that line was there for about an hour and a half to 2 hours yesterday. And it kind of gave me a little bit of a tickle inside for Whole Foods to be annoyed that that church was interrupting our parking situation. Kind of, but I want to say thanks to all those who helped out, to Steve and Angela who headed it up, to Elise and Miko and all the other the key leaders and all the people that just gave their time to make it a great, great time. Every car that drove by our station said that they waited about an hour just to get in. But then their second thought or statement was, but it was worth it. It was worth it. And that's a cultivation moment. We've been talking about this just briefly. We're going to really talk about it in 2021. But if we want to reach the community, it's going to happen in four stages: the cultivation of the word, of the soil, the planting of the word of Jesus, the watering of that, and then the harvest. And yesterday was powerful cultivating work. That there's a lot of good feelings in our community by probably over 1,000 people that came through our property yesterday, all feeling good today because of what they experienced here. So God is good. Amen? What do you say we get into the word today? Let me, got a little, Faith made me cry. Thanks, Faith. Appreciate that. Well, we got an hour of sleep more last night, and I heard somebody say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want another hour of 2020. I want less hours of 2020. And I get that. There's so much tension, especially as in a couple of days we'll have our election. And there's so much tension, so much just fighting and anger and real, honest, like hatred in our country, whether it's political hatred or racial hatred or hatred for injustice. Just so many things going on. And then, you know, pandemic stuff that's happening. And then more just anxiety about who's handling what right and who's handling it the way that should be handled. And nobody really knows how to handle it. And then fires in our state. And now the Gulf is being hit by hurricanes. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy. What we need right now is a song. I don't know about you. When I'm going a little nuts, there are certain songs that just comfort my soul. There are certain tunes that come in to, over my iPod or through the radio or that just, okay, I feel better. That song ministered to me. Today we need a song. We need a song of praise in a time that's really lacking a lot of positive messages. And we need a song of perspective where there seems to be a total lack of perspective. We need a song like that. And today we've got one. King David wrote a song, not when he was king, but when he was shepherd. Psalm number 8. We sang about it already this morning. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That song speaks to us. It speaks to our state. It speaks praise and it speaks perspective. This song written by David, a musician, says in your in the notes in the psalm heading there, it probably says something like Psalm 8, a psalm of David according to the Gittith. I'm like, what's a Gittith? A Gittith is like an early ancestor of the guitar. So in today's world, you know, this might be, you know, a rock out song. I don't know. Or it might be a mellow acoustic song. I don't know which. But here's what this psalm says. If you have your Bibles, open them to Psalm chapter 8 or Psalm 8, and let's read this, okay? If you're wherever you are, you might want to read it aloud with me. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, O our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I can see David sitting under the stars on some Judean hillside somewhere and looking up as his sheep slept and looking out. A land far less polluted than it is today with no cars and no smokestacks. I can imagine the crystal clear sky and David looking up and going, wow, how far does that go? God, you put those stars there. You put the moon there. How majestic is your name? But man, compared to all that, I feel pretty small. I don't feel very significant. I'm just a shepherd out here in the fields. He's pondering the expanse. He's pondering the unknown way, 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 way out there. And he sees himself in that perspective, in the midst of that. In the middle of that psalm, he uses a word, and I want this word to be our word today. Let this be our word. Say it with me. The word is consider. Did you say that word? Consider. That's what we need to do today. We need to consider in order to praise. We need to consider in order to have perspective. Consider is to think carefully before making a decision. To think before we act, to think before we decide, to think before we speak, to think before we vote. You might speak of considerate people. Those are people who think about you or think about others and then treat them kindly or say something nice. Consider. That's what we need to do today. Say it one more time with me, would you? Consider. I want us to consider four things today from this psalm. Number one, consider that the creation belongs to God. The creation is His. It is His creation. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. For you have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. The creation is His work from His hands. You ever gotten a child's finger painting from school and put it up on your fridge? We did those kind of things. Would you consider what we see in our creation, the finger painting of God, those beautiful sunsets or those beautiful sunrises? Consider that God did that. And God made those things. My wife used to like to listen to the artist Bob Ross on the computer. And he would say things, let's get a little crazy. Let's just put some color there, or a bush there, or a tree there. And I can see God saying, let's get a little crazy. Let's just put something out there that'll make man go, whoa. Let's put a star there or a planet there, and let's order them. And then when they get smart enough to make telescopes, because they're real smart, I made them that way. And when they invent that stuff, they'll realize, oh my gosh, there's more galaxies and more galaxies and more galaxies. And they'll go, whoa, when we consider what God has done, the creation. Let's make a rainbow just for fun. Yeah, God was pretty mad during those days of Noah. And he could have, to demonstrate his madness, he could have put a big black cloud up there and then not make that cloud rain. Just so that would confuse, oh, that's because God said. Or he could have, you know, put a pillar of fire or smoke. No, what he did was he got a little crazy. And he went, whew, and he made this rainbow. A beautiful thing. And I know this, every time every one of us sees a rainbow, we get happy, don't we? Wow, look at that. Once in a great while, we'll see a double one. We go, wow, look at that. When I consider the work of your hands, what you have done, God. Let's consider further the earth, 8,000 miles in diameter, weighing 6,000 million, million, million tons. The sun, 866,000 miles in diameter, so that over 108 Earths can fit inside the sun. The Earth travels between 584 million miles a year. You guys have got some miles on you. 584 million miles since this last time in October. It travels at 19 miles per second around the sun. It takes 2 seconds to get to San Francisco. It takes 2.5 minutes to travel from here to New York. By the time I finish talking about this little section, we will have traveled 475 miles. A complete journey around the sun just takes 365 days, 9 hours, 45 minutes, and 48 seconds to be exact. Awesome. Oh Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name. You have, when I consider the work of your hands, the work of your fingers. We have a yardstick that we call light years because stuff out in that massive space, it's too big for feet and miles. So we have this thing called a light year in which to measure. And that is the measurement of how fast light can travel. And light travels 186,000 miles per second. So a light year is how fast light would travel, not in a second, but in a year, which equals almost 6 trillion miles in a year. The speed of light can travel around the earth 7.5 times in a second. That's crazy fast. That's the speed of light. It can travel to the moon and back in 1.25 seconds. Speed of light can travel to the sun from here in 7.5 minutes. In 4 hours, the speed of light reaches Neptune, about the time it takes to drive from here to Tahoe. Awesome. When I consider your creation, the work of your fingers. When I say all that, do you think God's really worried about November 3rd? You think God is going, oh no, oh no. What are they going to do? Who are they going to choose? This might mess up all my plans. I had it so ordered. I had everything lined up, and all those Republicans, all those Democrats. When I consider the vastness and the majesty and the glory and the power and the creativity and the beauty, and that God with his finger goes, oh, let's just hang Beetlejuice up in the sky. Let's hang another one called the sun, and let's put an array of planets in this Milky Way just to get a little crazy. I'm not so sure God is that nervous about what's about to happen. And Christian, neither should we be. I know there's preferences. I know there are people on both sides of the political spectrum, and that's okay. God has given us a brain, and he's given us the Bible to guide us. And we prayerfully seek him for what little box to color in on our ballot. But we are of a higher kingdom. We are of a kingdom of, oh Lord, our Lord. And when presidents and senates and congresses pass away long, long, long ago, we'll still be in the presence of the one who said, let's get a little crazy. And let's hang some stars in the sky. The same scripture in those first couple of verses talks about little children, that God makes foolish the enemies, overcomes them by children and infants. And I remember, I feel that when I'm in awe like a child. Remember, our family traveled up to San Jose Family Camp a number of years ago. It's very close to Yosemite, and the skies are beautiful up there, and the nights are dark and the stars are bright. And they took us on a hike, the leaders, and they had us all lay down on this road way up where there's, you know, no light pollution. And they just had us stare up at the sky. And they began to talk about the different constellations and things like that. And it was beautiful. And it was wonderful. And it was so fascinating to listen to the children just go, ooh, and ah. And I remembered back being a child and being a lot more in awe then than I was now. But kind of drawn back to that. It's no wonder why Jesus said we got to become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. Children and sheep are the role models that God sets up for us. Be like them. Because they remain in awe instead of getting real, real smart like us adults and losing our awe. When I consider the work of your hands, the work of your fingers, like David did 30 centuries ago when he looked at the exact same sky that you and I get to look at tonight. When he looked at the exact same sun that's warming us today. Same. Let's consider. God's pretty big. And no matter how crazy this time gets, God's got this. Number two to consider. Why does God pay attention to man? That's a good question. Let's consider that. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? That's a really, really good question, David. Glad you asked, because that makes me, you know, curious too. If you're that big, if you planned all that out, hung all those stars in the sky, made the earth do what it does, and the planets and the galaxy and all of that and all the other galaxies, and I'm just this little speck on a speck, what am I that's any big deal at all? This whole contrast, all the created things, and amidst all the created things, he made an earthling. You and I. But yet, God is mindful of us. Why? I can see God creating with us in mind. On day, whatever day it was of creation, and God says, I wonder what they'll like. Oh, I know what they'll like. They'll be in awe of this. And he made Everest. I wonder what they'll really enjoy. Let me put my thumb right there and put a little water in it. Let's make the Pacific. God says, well, I wonder what will really give them a chuckle and might confuse them too, especially when they get real smart and they think things happen without me. Let me make the duck-billed platypus. That'll mess with their mind. When they really need a break, let me make things called beaches with sunsets and a warm tropical wind that blows and they can hear the rustling of palms. I'll do that for them. I think they'll really like that. See, what is man that he is mindful of us? We're so small, but yet he is mindful. What are the stars except to sparkle for us? Yeah, we figured out since he made them stationary for the most part, we figured out that we can use them for navigation. We can create our calendar and time around the placement of the celestial beings. And we've learned that part. But really, God put them there so we would go, whoa, God. He's mindful of us. Thinking about us in everything that he has created. Sadly, our tendency is to elevate the creation above the creator. And we look at the stars and we look at all those things and we think that they have undue influence over us. And therefore, we shift into some pagan astrologies. And I got to tell you, I looked up those constellations. And I still don't understand how you get like an upside down Y into a crab and make Cancer. That's my zodiac sign from where I was born in June. Or this little curve and they say, oh, that's a ram. That's Aries. Or, you know, actually, Leo kind of does look kind of like an animal. If you squint real hard and kind of fuzz your eyes out, then maybe it looks sort of like a lion. Or the other side is that we underestimate the vastness of the universe and we assume we have less and less, or we overestimate the vastness of the universe and we assume we have less and less significance in the universal picture. One author said it this way, that the earth is a speck of dust in an infinite universe, and man is an accidental bit of organic scum on that dust particle. That we can look at ourselves and go, man, we're really lame. We're really nothing, aren't we? And God says, no. No, I consider you. I think about you. I created everything with you on my mind. Is man powerless over the greater earth? Well, pretty much. God has made nature pretty powerful, that the earth stirs a little bit in her sleep and there are powerful earthquakes as buildings crumble. The wind blows a little bit more and navies are wrecked and ships are sunk and coastlines are ruined. The invisible germs crowd the air and has science baffled, as we're seeing right now. The clouds withhold their rain for a while and famine ensues. And then the clouds drop too much water and floods occur. Never forget Sandra and I sitting on the coast before we were married, right at the lighthouse in Santa Cruz, in the middle of a torrential storm. And I've never been so in awe of nature in all my life as the waves from the Pacific came crashing against the side of the cliffs right there next to the lighthouse. And as they would crash, they would shoot white, foamy showers 30 and 35 feet in the air. At least that's the way it looked like in my memory. So great that part of the highway, part of West Cliff Drive, actually just crumbled into the sea. I've never felt so in awe thinking, wow, I don't want to be caught in that. Are we insignificant in the bigger picture? Well, nature sure is powerful. But God is mindful of us. Consider that. In this time, are we as important as we think we are? No. No, we're really not. Leaders lead for a period, and then the next leader comes. People take power for a period, and then the next power leaders come. Generations pass, time passes, eras pass. This too shall pass. Because God is God. He is the Lord. His name is majestic. Consider that we're really not as big a deal as maybe we think we are. But the next thing to consider is, but God has placed honor and glory on us. Why has God placed us in such a high position and an honorable position? The scripture says, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. Yet we can be acted upon by God's creation and God's nature, where I certainly don't want to tangle with a lion or a rhino or an elephant, that they're much stronger than I am. Yet God has made man and given him a place of dominion over those things, given us authority, given us power. You ask, why would he do that? Why would he give us rule? What a tremendous opportunity, but yet tremendous authority and tremendous responsibility at the same time. And it's because God, in his creative power, wanted relationship with us and wanted to cooperate with us. God is always about with us. The work is for that relationship. He created it and then invited us to help. We're the only creatures that really have creative power ourselves. We can invent and we can envision and we can dream. The animal kingdom doesn't do that. He gave us that ability, a little lower than the angels. And we won't take a tangent to discuss angels today, but they're real and they're there, but they're not like us. Angels not created in God's image, man created in God's image. Angels not being privileged with forgiveness, as the fallen angels will be banished into judgment, where man has an ability to reach out and be forgiven because of the sacrifice of Christ. Lower than the angels, but different than the angels. Redeemable. Not spirit, but having spirit. God has given us this powerful position, and he gave us authority and responsibility. Authority without responsibility makes us like tyrants, but responsibility without authority, and we get used by God. God gave us both to cooperate with him and to be his co-workers, to be his friends, to be his children. God has given us honor, though insignificant, though small in the grand scheme of things, though a little speck on a speck on a speck and compared to the universe, but yet God has honored us and crowned us with glory. Consider that God wants to be with us for our sake. Consider that God doesn't care about party. God doesn't care about race.
God doesn't care about language. God doesn't care about wealth. God doesn't care about education. God doesn't care about status. God cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about me. From the greatest to the small, God's not impressed by the great. God even says that he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Let's consider the creation and how great God is. Consider that man is small in that creation, but also consider that God has honored us. And fourth thing to consider today is consider the majestic God who became man in order to save us. How majestic, O Lord, is your name in all the earth. This same Psalm 8 is quoted another time in Hebrews chapter 2. Let me read how it is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says this, "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where somewhere or where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." God put everything under our feet, but yet we don't see everything under our feet. God gave us authority and honor, but yet we don't see that influence. God turned things over to us, and what did we do with it? How's that working out for us? It's pretty messy, isn't it? It's pretty ugly what man will do when given authority. It's pretty messy what man will do when left up to our own devices, and we end up in violence and in hatred and bitterness toward each other. Wars destroy millions of lives. When left up to our own, it doesn't work out so well. But Jesus became a little lower than the angels for a little bit of time. We don't see Jesus in control today. We don't see, but he is. Or rather, I misquoted that. We don't see us in control of stuff, but we see Jesus. He is the one who's in control. We may not even see the effect of that, but he is. Look up at the stars and be reminded, God's got this. Look at the patterns of the waves and be reminded, God's got this. The fact that there is sun and then night and then sun and then night is a reminder, God's got this. The earth is still spinning on its axis. The earth is still traveling around the sun. God's got this. And God's got this so much is that he came. Became a little lower than the angels himself for a little bit of time that he might redeem us. God values man so much that he came to give his life. Jesus is God in flesh. And you know, we talk about Jesus' coming and dying on the cross so often that maybe sometimes that can lose its significance. But you know, in a time like this, when there's so much craziness, when there's so much out of control, when there's so much fear, when there's so much just what is going on in our world, we must always look back to the cross and say, wait a minute, that's why he came, and he has got this in his hand. We are not lost. We are not forsaken. We are not out of control. We are not kind of left alone to just fend for ourselves. There is a God who is mindful of man, and that God who is mindful of man is not just mindful of mankind, he's mindful of you. Whatever your name is, wherever you sit in your living room or your office or your car, or wherever you're watching this, that God is mindful of you. He knows where you are. He knows your circumstance. He's not forgotten you. What is man that he's mindful of him? Here's how mindful he is. He came to earth to save you, to save every one of us. That's our God. And our last consideration today, it's a fifth consideration, is will we consider worshiping that God? Or will we just go about our business? Will we consider to worship the Creator, the King, and our Redeemer? Oh Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm. Very, very appropriate that he's the beginning of our life and he's the end of our life. He goes before us and he follows after us. Oh Lord, that first Lord, one word in the Hebrew, is our King, the I Am. The second word, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. As Hebrews chapter 2 said, our brother. And there's other places to say, our father. Oh Lord, our God, our Lord, my Redeemer. He is God and he's my God. He is the Lord and he's our Lord. Will we worship this Lord? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Will he ordain praise from the lips of those of us who are no longer infants? And will we silence the foe of anger in our world today? Because we are people of Jesus. Will we silence the anger of people today? Not by joining in with the noise, but by rising above it and saying, because of Jesus, we can love. Because of Jesus, we can show kindness. Because of Jesus, we can reach out. And in a world starving for that, like we saw last night, just by a simple, simple act of kindness, the joy of people, the majority of which I'm certain did not know Jesus and didn't even know that it was Jesus that was bringing them the joy, we can change the world. If Jesus changed the world, then the Jesus in us can change the world. But we consider worshiping that God. It says, oh Lord, how Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know how famous our Lord is? He's famous. He's got a name that is above all names, a name that is remembered, a name that is quoted, a name, sadly, that is often cursed, but he's famous. He's our King and our Savior. He's our Lord, but yet Emmanuel. He's the Creator and Redeemer. He's our Judge, yet our Substitute. He's the one we fear, but yet the one we run to. He's the one we stand in awe of, yet stand beside. He's the Lawgiver and the Grace Giver. He's our God and our Father. And we are his children. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. We need Jesus more than ever. Whenever I feel my spirit stir with aggravation, whether it's because of COVID or because it's politics or it's because of injustice or because of whatever, reminds me that, wait a minute, if I consider God, you're in control. Consider God, I'm small, but yet you've shined upon me. You made me in your image. You've given us glory and honor. And you came and died for us. When I consider that, I can be okay. You can be okay. And together, we can show the world that there is a God who loves them and that they can be okay. That's what the church is here for. To be Jesus to the world, as Jesus gave his life for us and raised us up into joy. Now he's given us the same mandate to give our lives for the world so that they can receive joy. And not just joy today, but joy forever. Jesus did that by his journey from heaven to earth and giving his life. We're going to share that in communion. But before we do, I want to ask if there's anybody right now, where you are, you'd say, I need to consider afresh. I need to consider anew this God, the God of Psalm 8. I need to consider him. And as you do, let him lift you out of whatever stress or anxiety you're experiencing. Let him lift you out of the depression. Lift you out of the frustration. If you're sitting there today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, for you've never invited him to come into your life and to be your Lord and your God, he can be today. Romans chapter 10 simply says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved, or rather, shall be saved. I want to pray a simple prayer. Invite you to join with me. There's no magic in the words. It's just simply a heart expression of crying out to the Lord. I'm going to pray actually two sides of this prayer. One for those that believe and one for those that have not yet believed. And then we're going to share communion together. Would you pray with me? Lord, I ask in Jesus' name for all those who believe in you to consider the great God that we serve, that you are not nervous about this time. You're not afraid. You're not somehow ill at ease. You are the God who knows, who has gone before us and who follows us, and the God who one day will bring us home. I pray for every believer that you would help them to consider deeply who you are, who we are compared to you, but yet who we are loved by you. And therefore, we can be at rest and our souls can be at peace. I pray, Father, for that peace that surpasses understanding to fill each of our hearts and minds. And I pray for those, God, who have yet to receive you. And Lord, that maybe today, November 1st, 2020, what a year to receive you, Lord, and the year when it seemed like everything was so chaotic, that would be the year for salvation to come into one of these hearts. That maybe we would pray, if you would pray something like this, Lord Jesus, I need you. I've considered you. I've considered the work of your hands. And I realize that in my own eyes, I'm insignificant. But in your eyes, I'm honored, for you died for me. Today, I choose to make you my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my life, Lord. I want you to guide me, to bring that peace into my life. And I realize that you are the holy God, that without you, I have no hope. But following you, I have no despair. Today, I ask you to cleanse me of my sin, come into my life, and I will follow you the rest of my days until I see you face to face in eternity, and then I will live forever with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, the God who reigns in heaven struck up the heavenly band and the angels began to sing in your honor. It's true. The Bible says there's a party that happens in heaven for everyone that accepts Jesus as their Savior. I hope you did that. And if you did, you can celebrate communion with us right now. Wherever you are, if you take out your bread and your cup and you would just hold them in your hand. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The body broken is the substitution of God for man. That's how much he is mindful of you. Knowing we could not save ourselves, knowing we had no power to be perfect and no power to redeem and no power to take away that which has kept us and God separate. Jesus Christ came and he bridged that gap between God and man, making peace between the righteous God and unrighteous man, making us righteousness so that we can have peace with God. What is man that you are mindful of him? Not much. But man, God is so mindful of man that he gave his life and his body was broken so that we can live with him for eternity. Jesus, I thank you for your broken body. I thank you that you are our substitute. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross. In your precious name. Amen. Let's take the bread. Praise you, Lord. After supper on that same night, Jesus took a cup. Said, this cup is the blood of my new covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink it when you remember me. We drink this cup with the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? And then we consider the God who loves us so much that he would come, be made a little lower than the angels for a short time, and shed his blood as a substitute for us. This is what Jesus has done for us. And this is how mindful he is of us. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We thank you for the cup of your shed blood. We take it now with overwhelming joy for what you have given us, the salvation of our souls. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for our nation. We are a divided nation. More divided than I think I can recall in my lifetime. Maybe more divided than ever, I don't know. But I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that the Church of Jesus Christ would be the beacon of hope. That we would not succumb to worldly bitterness. That we would not succumb to worldly arguments. Instead, we would rise above, knowing that there is a kingdom greater than the United States. God, I thank you for the blessing that you have given this nation that has been the cause of the spread of the gospel in a greater way than any nation before it. I thank you for the blessed country we live in. I thank you for the outpouring of your blessing that you've given to us. But yet, Lord, we are far from a glorious kingdom. I pray for us today, and I pray your will be done as the election goes forth. God, I thank you for the privilege of being able to cast our vote and be a part of the process. Yet, God, we submit to your word when it says in Romans 13 that there is no authority that has been put in place except for that which you, God, have put in place. And so we submit to your word, and we will honor the person who sits in the White House after the election is done. Because, God, how can we honor you if we do not honor the ones that you've allowed to be in leadership over us? So I pray for our nation. I pray for this upcoming election. And God, most of all, we submit ourselves to the Most High, the one who considered us and died for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Well, lifers, take time this week to consider every day. Especially as the news rolls by and things are about to get crazy. I'm pretty sure of it. No matter what happens on Tuesday, half the nation's going to be pretty upset and half the nation's going to be pretty happy. Doesn't matter who wins. That's what's going to happen. Pray this week. Consider also so that you don't get caught up in it. All right? Let's close with our verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And I don't know if there's a better verse at this time. We need it desperately. Let's say it together. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, lifers. Have a great week.